What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Thursday, September 19th. We are working our way towards the weekend. We got more football tonight. Thursday night football, an AFC East game. Not the Dolphins, not the Bills. That was last Thursday, a Thursday that we definitely will not forget. But we got the Jets and the Patriots tonight. Some interest there, assuming the Miami Dolphins will still be in the mix for the division. You may laugh at that now because Skylar Thompson's going to be the starting quarterback, but I don't know if I would count the Dolphins out just yet. There's a lot that remains to be seen. And these Jets-Patriots games, I never get a real good feel for them. People are asking me, oh, who do you like tonight? You would think the easy answer would be the Jets, and it's hard to like the Jets, isn't it?
J-E-T-S! Suck, suck, suck!
But you just never know. There's something about these Jets-Patriots games. At least it's football. We got live football action on television tonight. What more can we ask for? Another Dolphins game? Although, I don't know how many people are asking for Dolphins games right now, knowing that Tua's not going to be taking snaps. We're going to get some really good football, I think, on Saturday, just 2 days away. The University of Miami, they go to Tampa, take it on USF. Canes hoping to go to 4-0 before they start their conference schedule. The Dolphins, they'll be flying to Seattle, that long cross-country flight. I have never flown to Seattle, not from Miami, not from anywhere. I've never been to Seattle. But when you look at the map, is there a longer flight than Miami to Seattle when you're talking about within the United States, not counting Hawaii or Alaska? Nonstop? I don't think there is. You could go places in Canada, British Columbia, but from Miami to Seattle, that's, I'm pretty sure, as long as you can get. Maybe somewhere from the Northeast to like Los Angeles, that would be pretty far, but Miami to Seattle, I'd have to look it up for the exact mileage, but I'm pretty sure that's as far as you can get. And I haven't been on it, and going there is longer than coming back because you have the wind, the jet stream. So you're talking about an extra hour or hour plus to go to Seattle than to go from Seattle to Miami. Just how it works when you're flying. And trust me, I fly a lot. And then once the Dolphins get there to Seattle and Sunday step into that stadium, not only are they taking on the Seahawks, they're taking on the 12s. That's what the Seahawks call their fans, the 12s. What do we call Dolphins fans? Somehow I think the word is like something to do with pain. Whatever word you want to come up with, Dolphins fans have just been through painful years. 24, 25 years, maybe soon will be 26 years. I don't know how long it'll go on. But just remember, there's hope. The Florida Panthers, they went 25 years without winning a playoff series, which is the equivalent to winning a playoff game in football. Hockey, you have a series. Football, you have one game. And that Panthers team, they just won the Stanley Cup. And in fact, the Panthers just hit the ice. They hit the ice for the first time since the last time. We got other sports about to start up. If you think the Dolphins season is over after two games, and it's not because they're 1-1. It's because of the loss of Tua, at least for their next four games. But we got the Panthers. We got the Miami Heat. They're just a few weeks away from reporting to camp. The Heat, they will be having some of their camp in the Bahamas. It's better in the Bahamas. Here is a very common mistake, and I may have brought this up last year, because the Heat have been to the Bahamas before for camp. But a very common mistake, and I didn't even know this until I was corrected, and I give credit to Jeff Fox, one of the Sports Brothers. He corrected me on this via DM years ago, and I'll never forget it. And now I correct people. In fact, I corrected Barry Jackson like last week when he tweeted about this. Most people say when you're writing it, because verbally it's okay, but when you're writing it, the Miami Heat are going to have camp in the Bahamas, and it's just Bahamas, like the, T-H-E, all lowercase, Bahamas. Jeff Fox, he wrote to me years ago, and he said, Slater, just so you know, because this is big with people in the Bahamas, it's not Bahamas, it's the Bahamas. The, however you want to say it, Bahamas. Like, that's part of the country, the. It's not just Bahamas, it's the Bahamas. I was like, really? Not that I should have questioned him. I mean, maybe for some of his football takes, but not the Bahamas. But I did go online and I looked it up, even recently again, just to make sure I wasn't seeing something weird a year or so ago. And it's right. It's the Bahamas. It's not Bahamas. It's the Bahamas. So when people write that out, and the University of Miami, they did that, I want to say a year or so ago, you've got to write the Bahamas. Some of you may not care about this, but, you know, I bring things to the table just to make us all a little bit more educated, including myself. I was making the same mistake a couple of years ago. The Bahamas, however you want to say the, it's not like roof and rough because that's incorrect. It's always roof, but the Bahamas, that is the country. So if you're writing it on social media, include the, because if you don't, then I know people know what country you're talking about, but to the people who live there or they're from there, it's discourteous. You got to say it the right way. It's better in the Bahamas. And supposedly it is better there. I have been there. The only thing I know about the Bahamas is it's more expensive there. I think I went there for four nights or three nights. I had the hotel comped in the Atlantis. The Cove, like the best part, it was comped three nights, no charge. And the bill came out to about $1,500. Because every meal there, even breakfast, for two people was like $125 for a breakfast buffet. And that was years ago. Now, I can't even imagine what it is. I don't think they have a jingle for that, though. Not that I didn't like the Bahamas, but it's more expensive in the Bahamas, which is hard to believe because it's very expensive here in South Florida. All right, so what else do we have going on sports-wise? Inter Miami, they had a draw last night, 2-2 at Atlanta. Messi didn't start because, well, second game since Saturday, so why would they start him? You got to temper his workload coming back from an injury. The Marlins and Dodgers, they've been facing each other at Lone Depot Park. We got a lot happening. I know it's not October yet. October and March are my two favorite months on the sports calendar for action, but we're almost there in October. From a sports fan's perspective, those are two of my absolute favorite times of the year. We're just a couple of weeks away from having postseason baseball, the NFL, college football, and then later on next month, we'll have the NBA back. We'll have the NHL back. Inter Miami is going to be playing still, so there's a lot. It's perfect. Perfect for wagering on the Hard Rock Bet app as well. There's always something going on there. I can't believe, though, how many people wager on table tennis. I do not do that, but I was told all day long people are wagering on table tennis just because the match is over within like 5 minutes. People want instant results. I'm like, okay. Now, you may hear my voice right now thinking, hey, you sound a little bit hoarse, and I could tell it myself. The real reason for that, and you know on this show I'm always all about So yesterday I had the day off because it was a travel day for me. However, I didn't get to travel. That's because when I woke up in the morning, it was not good. Yeah. So, you know, just keeping it 100 here on this show. You do that so many times and your voice becomes a little bit hoarse. Using those vocal cords, but not for speaking. You know what I mean? Hopefully you didn't have your lunch yet. Well, you probably did, but maybe you had it a few hours ago and you're okay now, ready for dinner time. Okay, I have a lot to get to this hour. I will do my best to speak to everything that's in front of me. However, I can't say anything else until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Is there such a thing as a championship hangover? I ask that because the Florida Panthers just had their media day. So the Panthers address reporters. And the big thing that Panthers head coach Paul Maurice mentioned was that they do not believe in a championship hangover. He's like, our guys came to camp ready to go. That's how we're going to start the season. While I think Paul Maurice is a really good coach for this team, which a couple years ago I didn't, but I certainly changed my mind. On this topic, I politely beg to differ. Will this Florida Panthers team have a championship hangover? I don't know. That's up to Paul Maurice and his players. That's on them to come back strong. But I beg to differ on the idea about a championship hangover not being real, because I 100% do believe it is a thing. The 2006 Miami Heat, they won. It was amazing. Young D. Wade, just 3 years in, he's paired with Shaq. It was perfection. Then came the 2007 season. The Heat lost by like 150 points at home for their home opener. And they never recovered. The guys came back out of shape. They had no drive. That team was done. They had won their title and they were done. Let's look at the Marlins. Remember, the Marlins have two World Series titles. With the Marlins, it's a bit harder to gauge, or almost impossible to gauge, because the team was nowhere near the same the following year. You look at the 97 World Series, it was a full-scale fire sale. They won the World Series, now everybody is gone. You can't look at that as a hangover. It was just ownership ready to move on. Think about what happened to the Panthers coming into last year. Heading into last year, or actually the year before, the Panthers, they had a long streak of never winning a playoff series. Eventually, they won their first playoff series in 25 years. Then the following year, they went even deeper. But they wound up getting their butts handed to them by Vegas in the Stanley Cup final. It's just within the last few years that the Panthers started to win in the playoffs. At least they've been getting there, but prior to that, 24 years, 25 years without winning a playoff series. So they eventually go to the Stanley Cup final. They get humiliated by Vegas. Game five, they got rolled. And on top of that, they were really banged up. That created so much hunger. Last year's Panthers team came in with a sense of a mission. Championship or bust. I know this year's team wants to win it again. They just spent the summer with the Stanley Cup. Winning is addictive. They know they can do it. But what you cannot tell me is that the Panthers are as hungry this year as they were last. It's not possible. I'll tell you, though, who is as hungry this year as the Panthers were last year. It's the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton's coming back with a vengeance. They got the best player in hockey. They just won 3 Stanley Cup final games. And their guy got the Conn Smythe, the MVP award. But they didn't get the Stanley Cup. Connor McDavid is going to come back fierce. That's the thing. It's very tough to repeat. The last South Florida team to do it, the 2013 Heat. Sure, hunger was a factor with them. The reason the 2012 team was so locked in is because they got to the finals in 2011 and lost to Dallas. The big three, they came back, and they had something to prove. You had everyone across the country. The entire world was talking about the big three in the Miami Heat. It wasn't really a question of hunger. It was more about they were an all-time team. The 2013 Heat, that was probably the most fun I've had watching a South Florida team from the beginning of the year all the way to the end. They had that 27-game winning streak. They were doing the Harlem Shake. Harlem Shake. The Ray Allen shot. That team was legendary. Which leads me to the Panthers. That's the model for them. They need to look at the 2013 Heat and say, hey, that team was good enough to repeat. Essentially, the main characters on that team, the most important guys, they came back. And on our team, the big-time guys, they're also coming back. Bob, Tkachuk, Barkov, Reinhardt, Forsling, Lundell. The main dudes are still there. They're still in their primes. Paul Maurice, he's still the head coach. It's going to be a dang good Florida Panthers team. They should be making noise. The question is, can they summon the same with what they had last year? The guts, the intestinal fortitude of last year's team. They blew 3 straight Stanley Cup final games and still managed to win Game 7. That's legendary. Bob got hot at the right time. We all know the formula: good health, hot goalie, timely scoring. That's it. You get those things and good things can follow. The only thing I'm going to miss when the season starts, the whole summer of the Cup, because it's been remarkable. Everywhere you look in town, the Cup has been there. The Elbow Room in Fort Lauderdale, the ocean, Jackson's Ice Cream. You go somewhere, the Stanley Cup's been there. The keeper of the Cup close by with his white gloves on. It's been a lot of fun. And truly, no championship celebration by any South Florida team, and I've been to a few, none of them has included as many fans and as many parts of South Florida as this Panthers party did. And it's been going on for months now. But camp has started. The beginning of the 24-25 season, that really marks the end of the party. It's the start of work for them. And hopefully that will lead to the next party. But as they start their journey, I felt I had to start this hour by talking about them. They deserve it. I'm excited to have hockey coming back. And don't tell anyone. It's okay. Your secret will be safe with me here when I ask you, what are you more excited about, the return of the Florida Panthers or the return of the Miami Heat? Don't worry. Nobody's going to hear you. It's off the record. You could tell the truth. Are you more excited to watch Jimmy have another DNP / tennis tournament where he sits on the bench or watch the Panthers go after the Stanley Cup again? I know it's not a complete hockey town because there's so much else to do, but Panthers fans are legit. The excitement is legit. The team is legit. It's great. And I think it's great that they're back. I'm fired up about it. I'm also fired up about what's going on in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. A lot of money up for grabs. I just had my tournament 2 nights ago. I didn't do all that well because someone knocked me out with 9-3 offsuit against my ace queen, but whatever. Sometimes people get lucky. Right now, though, in the poker room, they got the Everglades Poker Open going on with hundreds of thousands of dollars up for grabs. To see the entire tournament schedule, how you can get in, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You can go play tonight, tomorrow, sometime this weekend. Bonus high hands are being given out. You can go play in a cash game. There's so much action. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully you can win some pretty big money. Again, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com for all the event information. And then I hope to see you very soon at a poker table in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I'm sure Dolphins fans wish I could ask the question, do you think this Dolphins team will have a championship hangover? Or even like a playoff victory hangover? I don't know what questions we're going to be able to ask in a few months from now, but right now it's Skylar Thompson. He's the man. If he can't do it, nobody can. I don't know if that song would work. The Miami Dolphins, they continue to practice. They go on the road, and a long road it is to Seattle. Right now they're all in on Skylar Thompson. Sure, they signed Tyler Huntley, but we're going to see what Skylar Thompson can bring to the field Sunday in Seattle. It's really on Mike McDaniel. The Miami Dolphins have enough playmakers that if Mike McDaniel can come up with something to get the ball out of Skyler's hands quickly, maybe it'll work. I'm just trying to think of things. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Jaylen Waddle. If you can be a quick quarterback, which is not what Skylar Thompson is, but if you could do your best to make him a quick decision maker, NFL defenses are still not going to be happy because you got to cover Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. It makes it a lot easier to cover those guys if your quarterback is not so good. And if Skylar Thompson isn't so good, if he can't make those quick decisions and get the ball out of his hands quickly, the Dolphins are going to have to be very one-dimensional. And it's not in the air. It's on the ground. But if he is able to make quick throws, you got elite wide receivers. We know Skylar's a question mark, but Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, they're not. As to why Tua did go on IR, I respect the decision that Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer made. McDaniel's right when he says, hey, he's out for 4 games. The best thing to do right now is let him heal. Just get better. Don't worry about the season. Don't worry about your teammates. Don't worry about the future. Just get better. And then in a few weeks, we could revisit everything. IR is protection for Tua, and it's protection for all of the questions and storylines that would come the way of Mike McDaniel and Tua's teammates over the next few weeks. Right now, there's no timetables, as Mike McDaniel said, because the second they put Tua on IR, that's it. He's shut down until at least week 8. He's out until at least 1 game after the bye. We're talking about late October. At that point, we can start having actual conversations about how he's doing and is he coming back. But right now, all those questions are shut down. He won't be asked about Tua after the Seattle game, after the Tennessee game, after the Patriots game, after the Colts game. That's 4 games guaranteed we're getting Skylar or Scoop. That's the plan. Now, that plan could change with another quarterback. Who knows? The offensive line, they're not great. And they're beat up. So you just got to hope Skylar can stay healthy. Or I called him Scoop. It's Snoop. I'm just thinking of
Slater's Scoop.
It's not Scoop Huntley. It's Snoop. Huntley. Can you blame me for always having Scoop in my mind? When it comes to the Dolphins right now, they need to scoop up some victories somehow. Stay in it. At least until Tua is able to come back, if he does. Because right now it's a danger zone for them. 4 games, that's nearly a quarter of the season. And if the Dolphins cannot figure this out, the season can go sideways. And then even if Tua says, okay, I want to come back, the doctors have cleared him to come back, if the Dolphins are so done already by the time he's eligible to come back, if the team's 1-5, I mean, that would be a disaster. Just give Tua and the Miami Dolphins a reason for him to come back after he's eligible to do so. Of course, medically, if he's not cleared, okay, forget it. But if he is, give Dolphins fans and give Tua something to be excited about. Okay, the Dolphins are still in this, and we're getting Tua back. If the team is 2-4 or 1-5, even if Tua's coming back, there's zero excitement there. Nobody's going to expect him to come back and save their season and win, what, 11 straight? I mean, come on. That's why right now Mike McDaniel has got to figure out how to still be able to get greatness out of his playmakers with Skylar Thompson at quarterback or Snoop Huntley. But who knows? Maybe Scoop Huntley would be better. Everything relies on Mike McDaniel right now to figure it out. That's his job. And the Miami Dolphins and Chris Greer, they had choices. Their choice before the season started was, we're going to pay Tua his money, and he's going to be our guy, and we're not going to have a solid backup plan because he stayed healthy last year. So we believe he's going to be a healthy football player from here on out. And unfortunately, they were wrong. So this is the position that they put themselves in. This is the bed that they made. Now you got to figure out how to work with it. Because after 2 weeks, you don't want your season to be done and over with. Maybe the Dolphins will pull something out in Seattle. Maybe Mike McDaniel will be the genius that we think he is. But with the play calling the first 2 games, I have started to question how much of a genius Mike McDaniel really is and what he's got inside of him. Because those first 2 games, the play calling, even when Tua was in there healthy, I don't know what he was doing. I mean, all of us are yelling at the television or you're there at the games and you're yelling, what's going on here? What are you thinking? Not just the play calls, but the timeouts. And now you got Skylar Thompson in control. It's hard to be optimistic right now when it comes to the Miami Dolphins' chances. At least we could be optimistic with the University of Miami's chances. I want to talk with Will Manso from WPLG Local 10. He's going to join us in just a moment. If you don't have any plans this weekend or tomorrow, you could head on out to Gulfstream Park and enjoy some live racing action. The Sunshine Meet is going on at Gulfstream Park right now with live racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You could hang out in the Carousel Club, a really cool place to watch the races live and wager on them. Or you could do what I do when I go to Gulfstream Park. That's enjoy the trackside restaurant. Indoors, the AC is kicking 10 palms. That is the name of the trackside restaurant at Gulfstream Park. During the weekend, they got the buffet. You could order off of the menu anytime you want. You get yourself a table. You see the action live right in front of you. You don't even have to get up. I mean, if you're going to get the buffet, you get up to get your food. But if you're going to order off the menu, the great people that work at Gulfstream, they'll come around and they'll take your bets for you. They got the pick 4, the pick 5, a lot of money to be won, the rainbow 6. It only costs 20 cents to get into that bet. Live racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right now. Some really good action in our own backyard in Hollandale Beach. It's the Sunshine Meet happening at Gulfstream Park. Here on this Thursday, Will Manso from WPLG Local 10 with us on the Andy Slater Show. Manso, I was just talking about championship hangovers. Paul Maurice says he doesn't believe in them. Do you believe in them?
I think there has to be a little bit of a hangover, especially when it's only been 85 days since you lifted the cup and now you're on the ice. But I will say this, though. They've been to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, so it's not like this team is like was a fluke, you know what I mean, where it's like, oh, man, what a great year. Everything fell into place. They won. I mean, they were in it the year before, so the only reason I think that maybe there won't be is because they've shown the focus to be good enough to do it back-to-back years to get there.
But do you have the same amount of hunger? Like I was talking about the Heat. You look at the big 3 years, and you've been working with the Heat for a long time. They were the last team to repeat here in South Florida. Do you think they can have that type of hunger like the Heat had, or that was completely different?
I think you can. I think you can because this is a team that's still at its core is pretty young. I mean, I know Barkov's been in the league a while, but Tkachuk, you know, is still a young guy. They've got a lot of young pieces. Lundell, who keeps getting better and better. Bob obviously is a veteran, but I think when you get that taste, it's like a combo. It's like, first of all, it's so hard to do. You don't know you'll ever get it. So you get it, and it's like so special. And then you're thinking, well, damn, if I'm going to put in all this work and I'm going to put in this grind to get here, why not do it again? Now, but I think it's human nature to back off a bit during a long year. Like, there'll be stretches where I think it's hard to get motivated knowing what the big goal is and what they've done. But I still think this core can have that motivation needed.
Will, do you think I'm bringing up hockey and championship hangover here on a Thursday because the Panthers deserve it or because Tua's on the IR?
No, the Panthers deserve it. The Panthers deserve it. No, Tua on the IR is a big story. I will say the Dolphins putting him on IR was the best thing for many reasons. Number one is for Mike McDaniel, the daily questions of how he's doing and how close he is. Now you don't have to answer that for a month. Like, it'll be asked, but hey, he can't play for at least a month. So they put that on the shelf for now. And then we can concentrate on the other stuff like the Panthers.
But when you look at this Dolphins team and Tua's on the IR and now they're going to Seattle, I'm sure you have friends that ask you all the time, hey, so what do you think? Do the Dolphins still have a shot? Are they still going to be in it? Realistically, in your mind, where do you see them until Tua does come back, assuming he does?
Well, I think the way it happened, first of all, 4 games is a long time, obviously. A lot can happen in those 4 games. Other guys can get hurt. The team you're playing guys can be out. I mean, it's hard to go like win-win, loss-loss, like here's what's going to happen. The Dolphins have their weapons. I mean, that's what they're built on. They just don't have the guy who's moving those weapons around, and that's a big deal. But if it's ever going to happen, this 4-game stretch, going to Seattle is hard regardless. They're a good team, but it's just that trip and that stadium, it's hard. But you look, you know, with the Titans, you look at the Patriots, you look at what's ahead for them, the Colts up and down with Anthony Richardson, that 4-game stretch, I don't think it's being a homer. I don't think it's being overly optimistic to think that they couldn't go 2-2. And if you go 2-2, and let's say, again, all the tests clear for Tua, he's fine, because just because he's on IR doesn't mean he's definitely back in a month. But let's say everything's okay. You could live with being 3-3 into that final 11-game push with a healthy Tua, or 10-game push with a healthy Tua. You know, that's just to be determined what it's going to be. If you can be in that position.
It kind of feel like, I mean, I agree with you, but it don't you sort of feel like maybe both of us and other people are just trying to figure out a way where maybe they'd still be in it, where in the back of our minds it's like, come on, I mean, they don't have Tua.
See, if I'm staring at the Ravens, if I'm staring at, you know, the Eagles and the, you know, the Chiefs and premier teams like that, I'll say there's no way they could do it. But again, the league, you've seen already in 2 weeks how bad some teams are. I mean, this is a top-heavy league, and there's very few good teams. So even that list I just told you, none of those teams scare you at full health, even at full health. So if you can get enough of a game plan where you find ways to get the ball to Tyreek, where the defense makes some plays, the Dolphins still have a lot of good players that can make plays. I don't think asking for 2 wins is too much. Now, I don't think going 3-1 and 4-0 is a good way to think about it either, because that's, I don't think that's going to happen. But 2-2, you're still alive. You're still in that mix with a big portion of the season left if Tua's healthy.
See, but here's the thing. If Tua was fine and none of that happened on Thursday night, would you even look at these next four games and say, oh yeah, the Dolphins will go 4-0 or 3-1 and it's only just a bit of a step down because of Skyler?
If Tua was healthy, I think the Dolphins could win every one of these next four games. Now, I don't think they would, just because, again, the league is so up and down. But I think you like your chances. Like, what have the Dolphins shown in the last few years under Mike McDaniel, the last couple of years, but in the Tua era, right? They beat bad teams. Like, they take care of business most of the time, except, of course, going back to last year's Tennessee game. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they struggle. Well, everybody
just, to stop you, Mostert did score a touchdown in that game. I was okay with that.
I heard that it actually was a big deal. So you see, to me, they can beat the bad teams. The question has always been, can they beat the good teams? And I think that's where you start wondering, okay, is this team really going to take that step? No one has questioned their ability to beat bad teams. The question is, can they beat good teams? And obviously, they're going to need Tua healthy when those good teams come back on the schedule.
Are we more excited right now? I think this is they say there's no such thing as a stupid question, but this might be stupid. Are we more excited right now about the University of Miami football team than the Dolphins football team?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think you know the answer. That's why you think it might be a stupid question.
Are you saying yeah, as in we're more excited, or yeah, that was a stupid question? Or both?
No. Yeah, we're more excited. It wasn't a stupid question, because you know what? More often than not, that's a question that you would say to yourself, there's no way people are more excited about, you know, they're more excited about the Dolphins always, right? But given what happened with Tua, but by the way, even before Tua's injury, there's this feeling of, you know, imminent dread with the Dolphins in the sense that, hey, this is a team that hasn't proven they can win the playoffs, so let's just see if they can get there and judge them then. Where the Canes, the issue has been within the season. When are they going to slip up? When is that ugly loss? When is that loss to a middle-of-the-pack ACC team happening? You know, those are things that all of a sudden you don't see, you know, and that's why there's an excitement, because, oh, my God, is this the team that we've actually been waiting for? Like, this is actually the Canes team we've been waiting for. So I think that's why there's a general excitement over the Canes, more so than the Dolphins, I think even before the Tua injury.
Yeah, well, with Cam Ward on that field, it's been pretty exciting. Will Manso from WPLG Local 10, I appreciate the time on this Thursday afternoon. We'll chat again soon.
Anytime. We'll talk soon.
All right. Again, Will Manso from WPLG Local 10. There is a lot more excitement, I think, about the Canes than the Dolphins right now. But not everybody's a college football fan. Dolphins fans are just like you live the team. You breathe the team. You sleep with the team. It, not in that sense, but you get my drift. You do everything. You just wait for football season. And college, just a bit different. Speaking of football, you could be part of my 15th annual football pick'em challenge. Head on over to my site, slaterscoops.com. We got a game tonight. If you've got the most winners against the spread for the week, you're going to get a $100 gift card to Flanagan's. Get yourself a meal deal for you and your family. $100 gift card at Flanagan's. You'll be able to use that really well. I love going to Flanagan's, the Flanagan's in Kendall, but they got Flanagan's all throughout Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach and beyond. Now, not only do I have a weekly prize, but I've got an overall prize. If you got the most winners against the spread for the entire football season, you and a guest will fly away to Costa Rica, all thanks to the Costa Rica Dental Team. And while you're there, get yourself a cleaning, or maybe you need some dental work. Head on over to slaterscoops.com and be part of my 15th annual Football Pick'em Challenge. Sticking with the Cam Ward University of Miami conversation for a few moments. If you listen to Cam Ward when he speaks to the media, this dude, he's got it. He is just so cool and calm. Such a smart way about him. He's very intelligent. The way he answers the questions, I feel like he plays the same exact way. His brain is like a computer that processes faster than anyone else is on the field. Reporters asked him yesterday why he doesn't run more. And Cam Ward basically said, I could, it's in my game, but have you seen our receivers? We have four or five dudes who are studs. He said his job is to get the ball to his playmakers. I could run, but why would I? And he's absolutely right. When it comes to the transfer portal, what a perfect fit Cam Ward was for the Canes to grab. Whatever questions we had about Tyler Van Dyke, and I feel bad for him. He got hurt at Wisconsin and his year is over, but whatever questions we had about, is he the dude? Remember TVD, is he the guy? Now we know what it looks like to have the dude. You watch Cam Ward and you see how under control he is and how precise he is in everything he does, how he throws, how he makes decisions, then off the field, how he gives interviews. You cannot do better than this kid as the face of the program. Right now, 11 touchdowns, one pick. Off the charts. This dude came to Miami not only to do well, but to up his draft stock. And through three games, that mission is well on its way to being accomplished. I want to see what UM and Cam Ward can do against elite competition. Let's say Georgia in a playoff game. Something like that. Because doing it against Ball State is fine. USF on Saturday? Okay. I want to see Cam Ward and the Canes do this against an SEC powerhouse. And no, that doesn't include Florida. The Gators are not a powerhouse. Not anymore. If you look at the ACC schedule, I don't see a game where I'm like, okay, this is going to be a true test. If you look at the entire Canes schedule, I don't see that game on there for him to truly project his NFL stock. But come playoff time, assuming the Canes will be in it, we're going to find out. I want to see him play against the big boys. So far, Cam Ward is an A+. A perfect move by Mario Cristobal. Right guy for the program, and definitely at the right time. Compare Cam Ward to the quarterback FSU got from Clemson. Imagine if that would have been Mario's move. This is year three for Mario. The lines have been beefed up on both sides of the ball. The quarterback position definitely seems elite. There's no excuse for the University of Miami not to make the college football playoff. They should be there. Is the U back? Maybe. That's all the time I got for this Thursday afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.